In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today is the second Sunday of the month of Beba, and the Church puts before us the gospel of the calling of St. Peter and St. Andrew. And if we look at this gospel, when St. Peter was called, we could say it is a turning point in the life of St. Peter. Before, he was living simply as a fisherman, and this was, you know, what he did for a living, how he supported his family. And then, in one day, he heard the Lord Christ preach. He saw the Lord Christ come into his boat, perform a wondrous miracle, and then called him to be a fisher of men rather than of fish. So we can say that this was a turning point in the life of St. Peter. From this moment, his life changed. I'd like to take a few moments today to speak about this turning point in our life. Some of us have experienced a turning point in our life, whether it be a certain experience, whether it be maybe an accident, whether it be a certain success that God has granted us. Many different reasons why, and we'll talk about them. So many of us experience this turn, and many of us have still yet to experience this turn, this turning point in our life, where we make a 180-degree turn from one way of living to another way of living, to a righteous way of living. So when I speak of what is a turning point, it's basically what that causes a person to change 180 degrees. Of course, we'd like to focus on the positive turn, but there are also some people that have made choices in their life that has caused a turning point for them, but unfortunately not in the right direction. If you look, for example, at Eve, right? We can say the moment she took and beheld that fruit and took a bite out of it, that was what? That was a turning point. From this moment forward, her life has changed. You can also look at Adam, right? Adam, the moment he listened to his wife and took the fruit, also his life changed. Now, just so all the men are like, yeah, it's her fault, just I shouldn't make things straight and I don't get in trouble after the liturgy. It wasn't Eve's fault that Adam fell, because Adam had the free will to choose for himself. Ashenkida, when God came, he came to Adam first, because he was supposed to be the leader of the family that God had created, and he failed to do so. So actually, we can say it's both of, you know, their faults, because each one of them had a free will. And in case we harp again against Eve because she did it first, let's keep in mind that through one woman, sin entered into the world, which is who? Eve. And through one woman, salvation entered into the world, which is St. Mary. Very good. And just kida as a side note, for those who are looking to be married soon, marriage, as in with Adam and Eve, is a turning point in our life, whether we like it or not. Ask anybody that is married, was marriage a turning point in your life or not? They would say absolutely 100%. So because it's definitely a turning point in our life, this is a decision that needs to be studied, you know, to the great extent. You know, some people, they get caught in this, you know, this bliss like is shown on TV. Oh, we're going to live happily ever after. We make a premature decision, and this decision, because of its nature, we will suffer the rest of our life because of this decision. But please, those of us who are looking to get married, it is the most important decision you'll make, and will certainly be a turning point. And this will be either, I always tell the youth, it's going to be make it or break it. You choose the right one, it's amazing and it's beautiful. You choose the wrong one, it can give you some trouble, or it will give you some trouble. For marriage in general is a turning point in our life. So Eve made a wrong choice. Also Lot, remember Lot, who was the nephew of who? Of Abraham, right? So everything was good between Lot and Abraham, and everybody's feeding their flocks and everything, until both of them got too wealthy, the land couldn't fit both of them. So what happened? Then Abraham or Lot said, or Abraham, they said, okay, the land isn't big enough for us. So Abraham, out of his humility, he said to Lot, choose for yourself the land and go. If you go north, I'll go south. If you go east, I'll go west. So Abraham, or Lot looked and saw the land flowing with milk and honey. He saw the America of that day, right? This is it, the land flowing. If I just go there, I will be drinking milk and honey and having all success. So he chose for himself what? Sodom, the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? In the beginning, it was milk and honey, but milk and honey turned into sour wine. And this he paid for, and also his family. It says St. Peter tells us something very important about Lot that maybe in the Old Testament wasn't revealed to us. In 2 Peter 2, he says, God delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. So although he had the milk and honey, but his soul was tormented day and night because of the corruption in that city. So he made a bad choice in the beginning of his life to leave the man of God, Abraham, because he wanted more. Maybe if we would go back and we were in Lot's shoes, knowing who Abraham was and would be, we would say, you know what? I'm happy of having less as long as I'm with you, Abraham. I'll just live off of whatever, you know, you would like to give me. This have maybe been a better choice for Lot. But unfortunately, he paid for his choice, and also his family paid for it. Do you remember after Lot and his wife and his daughters left out of Sodom and Gomorrah, his wife turned around, was a pillar of salt. Then after he and his daughters fled to the mountain, what happened? They actually committed a sin with their father. Where did they learn this? From Sodom and Gomorrah. So their kids were also affected by this negative choice. So we have turning points in our life where God says, I put before you life and death. Choose life, but the choice is yours. Unfortunately, Eve and Lot didn't choose the right. Lastly, about those, before we turn to those who made good choices, Judas made the wrong choice, or he had a turning point in his life. This turning point was the time where he looked and saw who Christ was, and then looked at the money box that Christ was providing, and he chose. So he chose the money box over Christ. He chose to increase the zeros in my bank account over to live with Christ and to be counted among one of those, one of his disciples. So God will always put before us the choice, and the decision would be ours to make. So how is it that we can change for the better? How is it that God provides for us, or how is it that we handle this turning point in our life? And what are some circumstances that cause this turning point in our life? The first is a direct call from God. Some people see a revelation of Christ or of God. Some hear something. Some are sent a message many times. Like, for example, Samuel. When God called him, he didn't know who it was in the beginning. But when he called him, this was a turning point in Samuel's life. We also, Saul of Tarsus, right? He spent all his days persecuting the church to the point where he ran after the Christians, bound them, and put them in prison. And not only that, he was witnessing, as we know, to the stoning of St. Stephen. And he maybe saw St. Stephen looking up to heaven and the heavens opening and everything, but yet he was still consenting to his death. But St. Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, when he met the Lord Christ on the road to Damascus, and he said, Saul, Saul, who are you? Why are you persecuting me? This was the turning point in his life. And then he asked the question, which maybe all of us can ask, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? Everybody will have in their life this moment of maybe God wants them to turn. Maybe this moment has already passed, but today is a new moment, because I'm speaking about it. So today is the day, if God is calling you to change from whatever bad habit or whatever sin that you're struggling with, today is the day that we should turn. Today can be that turning point. I heard a message today during the liturgy, and today is the day that I will turn. We also, in the gospel of today, we said that St. Peter and St. Andrew, this was their turning point when they hosted Christ on their boat, and they were given many of the fish. Also, Matthew the tax collector, or Levi, this guy wasn't the best of people. You know, we know that the tax collectors were the thieves and the crooks of the town. But one day Christ went there, he looked him in the eye, and he said, "Follow me." And what do we know? What do we read? He says, "So he rose and followed him." This was the turning point in the life of St. Matthew, where Christ said to him, "Follow me." That was it. Sometimes it requires a big ordeal like Jonah, and sometimes like St. Matthew, it's just, "Follow me," and he heard, and he got up and followed him. The church also, we have in the history of the church, a saint by whose name is St. Peter the Worshipper. St. Peter the Worshipper. St. Peter, you can read his story in the 25th of Tuba. This guy, and it's very similar, and I think maybe the people who made up the movie The Christmas Carol got it from this, because it's very similar. You'll see the parallel. So it's about this rich fellow who was very wealthy, and he had kind of a hard heart, and he loved money. Then one day a beggar came to him wanting some money. So he told him no. So the beggar came again, and he told him no. He came again, and just out of annoyance, he took this loaf of bread, and he threw it at him and hit him in the head. Of course, the beggar got all happy, took the bread, and you know, said thank you. Then that night, this fellow had a dream. And St. Peter, while he was asleep, the Lord appeared to him, or he sent an angel, and he showed him what it would look like at his judgment. So he showed him as he came and stood before the Lord, and the Lord asked him, looked at what he did. And he was going through the reel of his life and couldn't find any good thing to, you know, reward him for. Until he came up to what? The moment where he threw the bread at this young fellow. So of course, you know, he saw all of the bad, you know, images of what hell is like. And he woke up after that and he changed completely, 180 degrees. He went from being a lover of money to the lover of the poor. He gave everything that he had to the poor. Not only that, after he gave everything he had, he sold himself as a slave to give the money to the poor. So this person, St. Peter, the worshiper, changed his life because of this direct revelation from God. So this is one way we can change, is by direct revelation from God. Another is by trial or stress. Sometimes this turn in our life, this turning point, can be caused by a trial or a particular stress in our life. For example, the experience of failure. If we look at the life of Moses, he knew he was like somebody special, and God prepared him for something special, to deliver the children of Israel. So one day he was out and he saw some of the Egyptians mistreating the Jews, so he got all zealot for the Jews and went and killed the Egyptian. Here again, it was the wrong choice. It was a turning point, but it wasn't until he failed in this, and he went to the land for 40 years, and he stayed there until God worked on him, until God told him, "Okay, you wait until I direct you and tell you what to do." And it took 40 years for him to learn. This 40 years were the turning point in Moses' life. But he had to experience the failure first before he could make this 180 degree turn. Also, maybe somebody who survived a particular accident would be the turning point in their life. Somebody who maybe got maybe into a car accident, and they look at the car and you say, "Oh, this is, you know, a miracle that I came out of this." So this would be the turning point in my life. Some people also might meditate on their own life and the meaning of life. We know, and this is I like this because it relates to our Sunday school, the high school Sunday school class. The two saints, the intercessors for the Sunday school class in high school, are what? Or who? St. Anthony and St. Paula, right? These two people, their life changed 180 degrees because they meditated on their life. Saint Paul the Hermit saw someone being carried like in a procession to his grave. And he thought to himself about his life, where he's going, and the meaning of his life. And he said, you know, this guy is going to his grave empty. And I might, you know, I'm going the same route one day. So let me prepare from now. So he left all and he went into the desert. Saint Anthony, the same thing. Saint Anthony, after his parents died, he was left with like 300 acres of land and his sister to take care of. And all these things, he was very wealthy. And then maybe I could imagine at his father's funeral, he was thinking to himself, Father, you left this world without your own will. You died because of the natural circumstance. And then he thought to himself, I wish to die from this world by my own will. And then by the grace of God, he went to the church, as we know. He heard the Bible reading that if you desire to follow me, you must sell all you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. So this gave confirmation to what he was feeling. He left all, went to the desert, and became the father of all of the monks in the world, not just in Egypt, in the world. So Saint Anthony and Saint Paula, their life changed 180 degrees because they took time out of their busy schedule to meditate on their life, the meaning of their life, the purpose of their life. Where am I going? Lastly, sometimes God can make this turning point a success. It doesn't have to be something negative, but it can even be success. Somebody can look at their life and say, you know, God has given me so much, and everything that I've asked from him, he's given me, and he never withhold anything. And then he invites me to come and serve in a particular respect, in a consecrated manner. Some people will think to themselves, how can I tell him no, because he's granted me everything. So sometimes God will give success to people, and this will be the turning point in their life. The moral of the story here is that God chooses the turning point fit for each and every one of us. To some of us, it's hardship and trial. To some of us, it's endurance. To some of us, it's success. But all in all, God will provide for us this turning point in our life, or the opportunity for this turning point in our life. So these things that we spoke were external circumstances. What is my role in this turning point? What is it for me? Maybe God can provide the situation for this turning point in my life, but what is it for me? How is it? What am I supposed to do at this moment of turning in my life? Just two things. The first is the will, the desire to turn and to change. Nobody will change unless they don't want to. I mean, if they don't want to. You know, people will come and confess, Abun, I want to get rid of this sin. Okay, and they confess, you know, over and over. Maybe the issue here is that I don't want to. Maybe I love the sin and I don't want to change. And we all have to search our hearts and say, is there something in me that I love that I don't want to change and I know it's wrong? This is what we need to reevaluate. Until we're convinced that we want to change, this turning will never happen. We're just deceiving ourselves. And this is exactly what the Lord Christ meant when he gave the parable of the Great Supper. He said the Master, you know, made a banquet for many. And he went and invited all. And then we hear of some of the excuses that the people were saying. One person says, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. So the guy holding a banquet, he says, I have a piece of land that I have to go see it. Not even he didn't say that I need that. I have to go plant it or do whatever, but it's just to go see it. But he's skipping the heavenly party for a piece of land, something worldly. And another says, I have bought a yoke of oxen and I am going to test them. So another, I have half possessions and I need to use them. And then another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So these are relationships. So we have many things that people were making excuses for themselves not to go to this banquet. So here the problem is the will. They weren't willing to heed the invitation when they were invited. People have to change. And actually a great example of this is Saint Augustine. Saint Augustine, as we know, he lived a very promiscuous life. He was, you know, did everything from, you know, alcohol to prostitution to everything. But then one day he changed this 180 degrees and he confessed. But after this confession, one of the ladies that, you know, he was accustomed to seeing came to him and knocked at his door. And he said something very beautiful. Let me read it to you. He says, "I am sorry, the Augustine you know is dead. This is the new Augustine, and you do not know what sort of man he is." So the evidence of a person who made this 180 degrees is when that temptation comes again, the door is shut. It's not even something that I will entertain, and not even something that I will think about. If the door is shut, it's shut. And that's how we can see if we made this 180 degrees in our life, is that when I'm faced with the same temptation, do I slam the door shut, or do I kind of open it and take a peek and say, it's somebody different. So he closed the door. So we have to will to make this change. The second is the consistency. All of us around New Year's are really good at making promises to ourselves or making vows, even to God. I promise that I'm going to do this, this, and this, and this. And a week or two later, khalas, what promises are we talking about? We completely forget. So it's consistency. When we make a turn, 180 degrees turn, it needs to be consistent. And this is what God is actually concerned about. He's concerned about our consistency in our fight. He said that he who endures to the end will be saved. So God is not concerned about maybe how we begin our life. He's concerned about what? How we end our life. Hence the reason why in the church we celebrate the death of saints. So the church is looking at the end of the saints' lives and saying this is what should be glorified. How they ended their life. Not so much as how they began their life. Because many of the saints begin down the wrong path, like St. Augustine. But the end of the life was a life of repentance. So it's not about how we start, but how we finish. So it needs consistency. So we said, one, what's our part is the will, the desire. And two is the consistency, to keep it up and keep it going for the long haul. So today, if you didn't experience that turning point in your life, today is that turning point. Ask yourself during the prayers, what is it in that my life that I need to turn from? And make the vow today to turn from it. And I promise you, if you do it willfully, God will give you the strength to do it consistently. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.